Welcome to the Inside Out Style Podcast with Imogen Lamport, your scientist of style. Each episode, you'll get real-world style advice for women of every size, shape, and age. And now, here's Imogen.
Hi, it's Imogen Lamport from Inside Out Style, bringing your style questions to life and answering them, hopefully, in a way that satisfies you, or at least gives you something to think about. So today's first lucky dip question is from Bernadette, who says, just something I've been wondering about. Is a bright with a white a medium high value contrast look as a bright and darker high value contrast? For example, would be red with white, or compared to red and black, which can be seen as quite high contrast. So really, a bright with a light doesn't appear quite as high contrast as a bright with a dark does. So red and black, hot pink and black, lime green and black, all those sorts of things tend to look very high value contrast. They really are punchy. A bright color gives you the feeling of contrast pretty much with most things it's put together with, unless it's something that is more similar. So a red with a burgundy is never going to feel as high value contrast as a red with a blue, because the blue is more different. So when we think about a bright color gives us the feeling that there's something there, that there is more contrast. So we generally will notice that a red and black, or a hot pink and black, these kind of colors, we feel like there's a lot of contrast. We could label as a high value contrast, even though not technically, because red is a medium value and hot pink is a medium value. So if we go the opposite way to white, instead of going to black, we're going to white. It's the same distance, but we don't feel it's quite as high value contrast. And I think that's to do with that the light of the white isn't quite as different as the dark of the black. Not 100% sure why, but I would say that we really see it's more medium high value contrast rather than a high value contrast. There we go. Short and sweet. Okay, what's this one? Gwen said, the quarantine, we're currently in COVID-19 lockdown, is letting me see more of my lovely grey roots rather than I want to know about. Any guess on what palette I will transition to when I quit colouring my hair? Hopefully we won't have to go down this road for too long. I was actually just thinking about that myself, because I was noticing some of my dark roots coming through. When we're thinking about how colours transition, so if you are a brighter palette, when we have got a solid hair colour, it gives us a brighter look. When we're going grey, it softens down our look, because grey is a more muted colour. So if we think about it, if we've got bright colours over here, and all the way down here, we get grey down this end, so grey is very muted, very, very smoky. Therefore, what happens is your colourings will soften down. Now, depending on the colour of your hair, if you've got a red-based hair or something that's got a lot of warmth to it, what will happen is when it goes grey, a lot of that colour disappears. So we generally will find, it depends how grey you are, of course, but you may lose some of that warmth out of your overall look. So we may go to a slightly less warm look. So we may go from, it depends how grey you are as well. Like if you're only just like 10% grey, really, it's not going to change too much. If you're 50% grey or 70% grey, that's going to make a massive difference. So if you end up going, you know, I can't dye my hair for the next year, I mean, please save us from this. I know this is a very first world problem. If we can't dye our hair and we end up growing it all out, then what we could think about is that what we're going to do is soften down. So if you're, say, a rich, you might end up as either an exotic, which is a bit softer depending on how much grey you've got, or an enigmatic. And then it depends if your grey is much lighter. So if you're actually very grey, you might find you've actually got 80% or more, like I did, where I actually went from a dark palette to a light palette. So therefore, you might even end up as an intriguing. Really depends what happens with your hair. But really thinking about it, as we lose the color, the saturation in hair, we also become softer. So we might go from rich to exotic to enigmatic, or we might go from rich through, if it's coming out really light, to spicy and then intriguing, depending on what your colors are. So if you're cool, for example, you could be dramatic, going to sophisticated, more grey hair. If your hair is still dark, if it's a dark grey, but if it's a light grey, we'd be going down to serene. So there you go. That's what happens when we can't dye our hair because we've been locked inside. Luckily, I've got my camera inside, I've got my phone, I've got power, so I can have a chat to you every day. Hope you are enjoying these as well. Gives you something else to think about. It's nice. It's nice to see other things to think about. You know what's really funny is I've noticed on my Seven Steps group that COVID casual is the new hashtag. It's what's my style today? COVID casual, because we're not leaving the house. At least it's not pajama. It's not COVID pajama casual. And I think it's important, particularly if you're working from home, to think about still getting up and getting dressed. I know as someone who always works from home, that getting dressed into my work clothes gives me a work mindset. So if you're suddenly working from home and it's not something that you normally do, you want to think about, you know, because it can be very easy then, I'll just be in my pajamas all day. That often makes you feel sloppy. You know, at the end of the day, you do not get in the same mindset as you do if you get dressed for work. So even if nobody's seeing you, then it doesn't matter. But of course, what'll happen is we'll end up having a lot more video conferences. If we're still working, but working from home, you're going to be on camera a lot. Now, I can tell you many years ago, like a lot of years ago, I did some work experience when I was probably 16 or 17 or something at the ABC, which is our big television and broadcaster, radio broadcaster. What was quite funny is I was in the newsroom one day and I think it was the newsreader came in his pair of shorts because maybe it was summer, but then his business shirt, tie and jacket. So under the table, he was not fully dressed. And in fact, one of the other presenters who was on like one of the serious current affairs shows, she had bare feet on. So you wouldn't have known. But the top all looked good. So if you're actually working from home, and you're going to be video conferencing, it's really important because this is how we're going to communicate. It's going to be really important to be connecting with people face to face through video conferencing. And so this is where it's really important to start thinking about, am I putting my best face forward rather than being all sloppy? So however they saw you in the office, when you're in the office, you want to be, you may look, if you wore suits, you don't necessarily need to wear a suit, but you still need to look really presentable. So if you were wearing a suit, I'd be wearing a collared shirt. At least something that has a collar, or maybe a jacket with whatever, you know, a knit top or something. So still giving yourself a more professional appearance rather than looking a little bit sloppy because we happen to be working from home. It's very easy to get into this, I work from home, I don't need to get dressed, nobody's seeing me. But, you know, if somebody suddenly wants a video conference, you need to look good on screen. So please do think about that. Plus, now, excuse me. Needed to have a drink of water before I started talking. Plus, when we are thinking, there's a whole branch of science these days called enclosed cognition. And what it's found is there is a relationship between what we wear and how we feel. And basically, so if you, like for example, is if you think I want to be someone who exercises, by putting on your exercise clothes, you're more likely to be someone who exercises. You'll actually do the thing that you're dressed for. That, you know, one of the studies they did, they gave a group of people a intelligence test. And then, so they got a baseline of intelligence. Then what they did is they took half the people, and they gave them a white lab coat as such. Excuse me. Itchy throat. They gave them a white lab coat and they told half of them that this is a doctor's coat. Then they gave the other half of the people the white lab coat, exactly the same coat, and they said, this is a painter's coat. Then they gave them more tests, and what they found was that the people who thought they were wearing a doctor's coat, their intelligence level rose. They performed better on the test versus people who thought they were wearing a painter's coat actually performed worse. So there's a lot of relationship between what we wear and how we think. So if you think it's okay to wear your pajamas to work, you may not be working as well as you would if you actually got dressed up in the clothes that you would normally go to work in. Excuse me, I've just got such an itchy throat. I don't know what it is. I've done a lot of talking this morning already. Bridget's asked, should I follow the fashion must-have lists? Now, this is one of those things. There's many lists out there. It says everybody needs a, you know, a white shirt, a little black dress, you know, there's a list of things that are on people's fashion muster. Or this season, you've got to get the polka dot shirt. Or this season, you've got to be wearing fluoro. Or this season, you know, you have to get yourself a crochet skirt. The answer is no. Really, what we all need is clothes. On my list of must-have is clothes that suit me in summer and winter, that keep me warm, keep me cool, and that express my personality. So if your personality is not crochet, if you like, that's not your, if your personality, if you prefer simple clothes, understated clothes, whatever it might be, then probably crochet is not your thing. So avoid that fashion. And especially the must-have list, the crisp white collared shirt. Well, not everybody has the lifestyle for that. It doesn't suit everybody's personality. If I'm very feminine, that crisp white collared shirt feels way too conservative and tight and classic and buttoned up and too plain. So I don't need that. That little black dress, well, only black suits a portion of people. So why not have some other version of, really, a little black dress is something I can kind of dress up and down a bit that I can go out at night in. So what I want to really do then is think, well, what can I have that replaces that, that works with my coloring, works with my body shape, that works with my lifestyle, that I can dress up and down a bit, but I've got something, it's that go-to thing that I've got in the wardrobe that I can take out and wear. So that's often what those things are on their list. They're kind of universal things, but really they're not for you necessarily. You've really got to adjust these lists to be, you know, to be things that you actually would wear in your life that suit you, your body, your figure flattery, your lifestyle. You know, if you've got a very casual, you know, lifestyle, why would you want a crisp white collar shirt? Unless that's your personality. Now, you can happily wear that if you go, you know, I feel really comfortable and really smart when I wear my jeans and my crisp white collared shirt. Fantastic. But if you just go, you know, I hate ironing and I'm never going to do it, and a crisp white collared shirt, it's just not soft enough for me. It's way too classic and conservative. It doesn't suit my rock and roll lifestyle. Don't buy it. So ignore whatever is on the fashion list. Only get what is right for you. This is why I think it's really important to empower yourself with the knowledge. Find out what suits you, your personality, your body, your coloring, your values, all those sort of aspects, whether it's the physical elements of you as well as the psychological elements of you. And then wrap that over your lifestyle and your location, your culture, all those things as well, and then make the decisions. This is why the better you can make your decisions, the better the stuff that will come into your wardrobe. So the more empowered you are, the more knowledgeable you are, the more discerning you are when you go shopping, and the more discerning you are when you read those lists and you realize, I don't need those things. So absolutely, only get, you know, the things you love that are going to actually be of value to you, rather than just something because somebody on some, you know, some celebrity or someone like that said you should have it. Of course, a lot of the times when you see these lists, these are about making money. The people who are putting them out there are getting some sort of cutback from when you buy the thing. So, you know, they're getting some sort of income from recommending these things. So of course, that's why they're doing it. It's because they're getting some sort of income from it. But you've got to be discerning and empowered and know what really suits you. Well, thanks for watching today. I'll be back tomorrow. Hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Inside Out Style with Imogen Lamport. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more actionable style and color tips. And don't forget to visit InsideOutStyleBlog.com, where you will discover Imogen's encyclopedia of color and style advice to help you become your most stylish self. If you're enjoying what's here, please leave a review so we can bring you more of the content that helps you adore your wardrobe more, so you can get up, get dressed, and get out the door looking and feeling fabulous every single day.